Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of the Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in the first time, what is Technory? Well, put simply, Technory is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 companies have come through our way, have been featured on our show or on our stage, and to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. We want to hear from our actual guests from time to time. Con, let me know if I'm not pronouncing your name. Is it Contran?
It's Contran.
Contran. So, yeah, close. Yeah, I'm very close. I'm historically terrible. Had names. It's like it's becoming my thing. You are the CEO of RippleShot, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
This is awesome. I'm on a hot streak. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in here. I think one, I want to know more about RippleShot, and we were going to have you guys on the show before we became Technory about a year ago, and we couldn't work the logistics out. But I'm going to ask you what RippleShot is, but I want to preface it by telling people to pay attention because there's not a better time than right now to know what RippleShot is because of all of the gift and online buying and everything else. So I'm going to give it to you. What is RippleShot?
Sure. RippleShot is a company that detects data breaches and stop fraud for banks and for merchants. So basically, we let the good transactions go through and we stop the bad ones.
Very cool. So I'll give you a little side story here and you can tell me how this happened. Chase Bank, for example. So use the Chase card. And for, I would say, I don't want to incriminate myself, so I'll make dates and times up. But for a good portion of time up until about 2010, I had a couple friends at Chase, and they were like, you know what? Fraud detection, it's so unsophisticated right now that if you were to rip off between $2,000 and $3,000 and then just dump the card, they would essentially not even investigate it. It just cost too much money on their end to try to track it down. That's not the case now, especially due to companies like RippleShot. But I used to go and you'd just like run a whole bunch of money in the card and you essentially could just bail out of it if you wanted to. And the same thing could go for a lot of credit card thieves. They would take your card, they would go to Walmart and all these places that they could buy essentially anything that they, you know, want and just throw the card in the trash bin. And all that would ever happen is that Chase would cut you a check maybe. And then that's a loss to Chase, which is a loss to shareholders of Chase. So what are you guys doing and how did that advancement take place from like 10 to now? To where now all of a sudden, I mean, if you have like a $5 transaction on your card, they can give you like a photograph of who charged it and all this other stuff. How has this map sort of been filled out?
Sure, Scott. I mean, that's the great background story because that happened in 2010, right? So it's been 6 years. And back then, that was the norm, right? And everybody said, okay, there's going to be a certain amount of losses that credit cards are going to take and a certain amount of loss that merchants are going to take.
Yep.
And the pain point wasn't big enough for people to change, right? But with the advent of like the Target data breach, the Home Depot data breach, you know, you name it now.
Apparently the Yahoo breach that no one knew about.
All these data breaches, the fraud started to go up for banks and for merchants to the point where they really needed to look at more solutions than what they had, right? At the same time, you know, technology-wise, with the advent of the cloud, Amazon Cloud, and being able to store big data up there, and with the advent of machine learning, more sophisticated type of algorithms, and the type of data that you can get, whether it's off the web, off your credit card information, zip codes, how often you stay on a website, what device ID you were before, there were more information available and more technology available to be able to tackle that problem. And so that's where we are today.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at this and I think ultimately what's cool, it depends on the side that you're on. What's cool to me is the algorithms have gotten so good. My mom gets pissed about this because they cancel my dad's credit cards because he travels for work. So he's always in different cities and things. Yeah. The algorithms for, I don't want to blow anybody up here, but it's a tiny bank, so it's okay. DuPage Credit Union is so poor that like, if the wind blows, if I'm on my way to Iowa and I go to Wisconsin for gas and Iowa for a burrito, my card is canceled. But the good places, the algorithms are so good that they know, even like, for example, I bought a suit out of Hong Kong just recently, and then I was making purchases here, and then I bought on Amazon. I bought like four different things all in one day. I'm now out of money, but I was having a good time. And it came back and said to you, just verifying, we put these through because they look like they're consistent with other expenditures you did last year around this time. Which to me is like, you know, that's the part that's mind-blowing, is that it's not just what you just recently did, check, check, check. This isn't what you did last Monday. It's like a year long they could come back and say to you, this is consistent with you in December of 2015.
Yep. So my first comment is DuPage Credit Union, you should call us at RippleShot, www.rippleshot.com.
I'll make the intro if you want.
Thanks.
They handle, just so you know, from a job standpoint, they handle almost all of DuPage County, teachers.
Okay.
So great. You're looking at one of the largest and top paying teacher, you know, teacher unions in the entire country, really. Yep. So.
And the reality is RippleShot was created to address the what we call the middle market banks and credit unions. You know, not the Bank of America's and Capital One, yep, and Citibank's of the world, right? It was the 10,000 banks and credit unions that don't have the sophistication of a Citibank or American Express, right? And so that we can deliver our solution, sophisticated algorithms over the cloud to them. We have clients we've never met in person, which 5 years ago at a bank that would be unheard of, right? We can give them a login and a password. They've never met us in person. We never set foot in that branch, but they're using our system to mediate fraud.
So you don't have to go too deep into it, but because, well, one, I won't understand it, but two, how are you guys, how have you created, what's the journey of RippleShot? Because, I mean, you guys were at 1871. I believe you've now moved out, correct?
Yeah, to Catapult.
Yep, yes. So you're at Catapult. What has been the journey of doing this? Because you're not a brand new company, and you guys have been at it for a while, and it seems like you're just growing at a perfect pace, and you're right on tune. So how are you creating the perfect tool for the middle market bank?
Sure. So it is a journey, right? We're a third year into it. You know, we've grown from coming from three people to Catapult now. We're 10 people and growing. And so I think the first part is we had to be able to prove our technology out the first year. And I think we were lucky that, you know, I think Target was a watershed moment for us. Yeah. We had called it before it was public. So that gave us a lot of notoriety or publicity.
Sure.
I like to say that Target put us on the map, and then the Home Depot got us our first financing.
Yeah.
Right. And so once we're able to prove that out, we then had to sort of figure out what our business model was. And then we went to banks, and then we figure out that the best way to roll it out is to work with large processors. So right now we're working with two large processors who service banks and credit unions. And so we're working with them to pilot our product, see the returns that they're getting, and then being able to roll it out to their banks and credit unions.
Have you talked or know the guys from Transnational at all?
No.
Just curiously. I've had him on the show, the CEO of Transnational. I'm happy to make the intro if you want.
Sure.
They handle a huge volume of Chicago. I mean, his name is Perry, and he's literally like Perry Tatoulis, and he's probably running down the street right now.
Well, I got two contacts right now, right?
Boom.
DuPage Credit Union and Transnational.
We bring companies here because I want to make them explode and get tons of business and then maybe give me some money. No, I'm just kidding. But it's interesting to me with your journey because this is one of those areas where, and coming from an innovation background and well, honestly, even media, for example, here,
sure,
people are so used to the norm. They're so used to like, this is what we are. Here's our overhead and here's how we pay. We have advertisements, how many clicks, and there you go. Credit card is one of those things. Finance as a whole is one of those things that is slow in some regards. And so when you're trying to raise capital, it had to be hard as hell to explain to people before Target. It had to be hard as hell to explain to people that this is going to be like, how do I make money? How do you make money on this? And I wonder, how did you, I'm sure if maybe I could be wrong here, but I'm assuming that early on you had a hard time raising capital. How did you break through that window and how did you keep it in your brain that we're focused on this mission, we know where we're going on the roadmap, and that doesn't matter if people don't see it yet 3 years ago, but they're going to see it.
Yep.
How do you tell the future to people who don't see it?
So for us, we for one thing, you know, being in the payments industry, I will say 1871, I give them a lot of credit. They raised exposure for the companies in there, us included.
Yep.
And so being exposed to people, a network of VCs and entrepreneurs from 1871 and around Chicago was super helpful for us. And actually the media helped us as well, right? Early on, we went on a lot of different shows, and I think that raised our visibility. And then we found the right, for my own experience, we found the right lead investor, right? And that lead investor was KGC Capital. That's the late Dick Kiphart, who was tremendous in the city, impacted, you know, I think hundreds of entrepreneurs in the city, and Chris Capps, right? And then eventually they became KDWC Ventures. But they believed in us early. And with that kind of backing, I think we got other investors on board that helped us through the bridge round, where Wintrust Ventures came on board as well, UMB Bank down south. So we had a lot of support that way. And our lead investor kept being our lead investor, KDWC Ventures. So You know, from our own experience,
that's very helpful.
Finding the right lead investor who has that kind of credibility and that kind of experience and that kind of network was super helpful for us.
So I wasn't going to go into this, but you bring this up, and it was really a good point. A lot of startup companies that come on here, and it's, I don't want to say everyone, but there's a handful of venture firms that do a great job of telling you right up front, we are a lead investment group. We're the group you want to do if you want to lead the whole way through every time you raise. And then there's others that say, listen, we want to augment, we want to supplement. Don't look at us that way. And I think that sometimes entrepreneurs, not sometimes, a lot of times, they are looking for capital so badly that they just will, it's like they black out that you said that you don't want to be the lead, and they screw up their cap table to the point where it becomes a serious problem because they've got tons and tons of investments from no lead investors. And that lead investor doesn't double down every single time to keep the table clean. And you guys obviously were lucky and skilled as well as lucky that that worked out that way. And I think, you know, what was your background? Did you know, like, had you done this before? Like, how did you know to make sure to partner and to be, you know, quote unquote, picky for your first investor, not just take the money?
Sure. So this is my fourth startup.
So yes.
So that was part of it. Yeah. And I had an experience in a previous company where it was a very difficult and dysfunctional board.
Yep.
So and that would in my mind would hamper progress in any company. So when
especially your company. I mean, right. Ripple Shot is a company where if you've got a board that's not on board.
Right. So we want to make sure that the board composition and our lead investor were aligned. And so that was very, very deliberate and very careful at the beginning for us because we knew that that was going to be a big part of the operations for us.
Very cool. So we always kind of try to exit out here, and I think Ripple Shot has been on Technori stage, I believe, at one point.
A couple years ago.
Yep, with Seth. So we always ask you on stage there, what's the takeaway? What's the thing that we can do for you? You guys have grown a lot since being on stage. I think we'd love to have you come back on stage now and tell the story, kind of the 2.0 version, which is where we're heading with things. We want to invite back some of our previous to sort of tell the world what they're doing. What can the Chicago tech community, the listeners of this show, myself included, what can we do to help Ripple Shot take that next step?
Sure, that'd be great. So one of the things that, you know, we're very grateful for the support of the Chicago tech community. One of the things that as we grow, we're looking to hire, and we're going to look to hire a lot of data scientists. And I just want people to know that Ripple Shot's a great place to work with some really smart people. I love for the people to take a look at us and you know, give us a shot. Certainly come talk to us.
I swear this is not scripted. We had the last guest on and we had a sponsor in here who is the Real Estate Can Help. Our other sponsor, I am not making this up, our other sponsor is Hired. And Kyle Cushing, who's the rep from Hired here in Chicago, he's not here right now today, but that's another intro I'd love to make with you.
I know Kyle Cushing.
You know Kyle. Yeah. All right, well, good. He's probably pinging the hell out of you. Well, if you're hiring, Hired is helping all of our startups hire. Where do people go to learn more about Ripple Shot and to get, you know, get in touch?
Sure. They can go to www.rippleshot.com. We have a ton of information. Our marketing director, Kaylee Simmons, has done a great job in educating people in the industry about our space. So it's a great place to go.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming here. And if you send me or have her send me your email, because I don't think I have it, I would love to make those intros to you.
Perfect. Thanks, Scott.
You can stream this episode and more on technori.com. You can stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Facebook at Technori. Keep up with our Technori news feed and Technori stories. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.